In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read. As I was reflecting on this text from Ephesians, I had the faces of the Greek students come to mind. And in looking over the Greek, I was struck by how Paul develops the theme of oneness. One body, hen soma. One spirit, hen pneuma. One Lord, heis kurios. One faith, mia pistis. One baptism, hen baptisma. One God, eis theos. I don't know if the Greek class has got to the number one yet, but as I reflected, I thought, what a wonderful motivation to approach some donor and say, wouldn't you like to give a trip to Ephesus to the best Greek student this summer? So if you know a Lutheran who might be well endowed and interested, or even a non-Lutheran, I'd be glad to arrange such a trip with such a donor for the best Greek student this summer. And there'd be a hermeneutical advantage in such a trip. To go to Ephesus today is one of the great adventures for the student of Holy Scripture. Because of all the ancient cities, it is probably one of the most preserved and sterling in its ability to provoke the atmosphere and the setting of Paul's day. The streets are almost untouched, and Germans and others have spent decades excavating. They have decades to go. What one would learn as he walked down the streets of Ephesus is that oneness was not characterized in its theology. There was poloi, there was a plurality of deities. There were deities for every occasion and on every hand. If one went to the great kind of definitions of culture, to the great amphitheater that seated over 200,000, at least many think that the 20,000 seats represent a 200,000 population, so that they would have circulated through there, you would see the gods in attendance. If you went to the Agora, the marketplace, you would see the gods represented in fullness. There were many everywhere for every time and for everything. Our day is not unlike that day. We live in what's been called a postmodern culture, where the very thought of any unifying principle is dismissed. In fact, one commentator has said, now we live in a day when the theory of relativity is itself relative. Paul comes to such a culture and to our culture with the theme of oneness. There is one baptism. There is one Lord. There is one God and Father of all. On Trinity Sunday, the church has historically confessed that oneness by these opening words to the Athanasian Creed. Whoever will be saved shall above all else hold the Catholic faith, which faith, except everyone keeps whole and undefiled, without doubt, he will perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in three persons and three persons in one God, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. The church has historically confessed, and Paul reflects in our lesson, that all things co-inhere because God has created all things. One cannot take the position that all is unrelated, as our culture does. In fact, as you train and as you go out, You'll meet this in very pedestrian, concrete terms. I remember calling on a member who said, "I don't mind church, Pastor. In fact, I kind of like it sometimes. But I feel so close to God when I'm in my bass boat." Well, I'm not sure his bass boat communicates the Holy Trinity. And neither can golf clubs or hunks of metal called cars or other toys that our culture worships. In a way, ancient idolatry was more persuasive, in my opinion, than our modern idols. They at least had character, they had stories, they made promises, and they received human homage. Our culture worships fragments. And when you go to lives, you'll find lives that are fragmented, dismantled, disjointed. And it's our privilege to put them back together with the one word of the sacred gospel and with the confession of the one Holy Trinity. One baptism has united all of us. One Lord calls us to daily contrition and repentance. One Lord daily pronounces absolution. Yesterday we were fed by the one Lord as he gave us his very body and blood and united us as his body, the church. Unity can be had only in the triune God and in the cross of Christ, where the heart of the Heavenly Father is bared to all of us. You and I daily have our lives restored and refreshed by our baptism. Our lives are daily joined to Christ, and in it, everything takes its place. Our sin is taken away. Those things that would tear us apart are no longer powerful, for the Lord holds us to the Heavenly Father through the power of the Spirit in word and sacrament. What a privilege it is to come as a people in a broken, fragmented world and say, there is one who can put everything back together, and to go forth with our hands and to put them in the baptismal water and to watch that union occur and to announce that gospel that will unite all through the Spirit's power to Christ. This theme of oneness is at the heart of the gospel, and Paul calls us to lead a life that is worthy of that, even as God gives us that life through his Holy Trinity. May the Lord attend you this day with the good and wonderful news that we are one in him, in his precious Spirit. We enjoy one hope, we confess one Holy Trinity, and now let us train and work and discuss how we can go to this world with that message and invite it to put things back together in Christ our Lord. We ask it for his sake. Amen.